Welcome to the Gloucester Daily Times for Monday, June 8th, 2026, brought to you by the Talking Information Center. Located in beautiful Marshfield, Massachusetts, this is your reader, George Krein. Today's lead story, brewery to go on block. Essex building contents to be auctioned Wednesday. It's written by Stephen Hagen. The status of Great Marsh Brewing Company may soon be determined. 12,000 square foot brewery, which seats 225, and several large German stainless steel fermentation tanks inside are slated to be auctioned off Wednesday, June 10th at 1 p.m. The planned auction is part of a foreclosure proceeding for the property at 99 Main Street, that's Route 133, according to a legal notice published recently in the Gloucester Daily Times. Quoting now, said premises are to be sold and conveyed subject to and with the benefit of all mortgages, restrictions, easements, improvements, outstanding tax titles, municipal or other public taxes, assessments, federal and state tax liens, reads the notice. Efforts Friday to reach Great Marsh Brewing owner and head brewmaster John Collins were unsuccessful. When asked about the property in 2025, Collins, a Hamilton resident, said that while the tap room was open, the restaurant had been closed for more than a year, being rented out for private events. It's a nice space, and a lot of money has gone into it, he said at the time. We want to find someone who has a good plan for the place and does something with it. Great Marsh is a, quote, state-of-the-art production brewery with canning and warehouse areas, a dedicated tap room, and a separate full-service restaurant with expansive marsh views. The two-story building was built and outfitted in 2021, from 2019 to 2020. Collins also bought the Fin and Feather building at 103 Main Street when he built the brewery. It is also part of the auction, according to auctioneer who is Aaron Posnick and Company of West Springfield. Under the terms of the planned sale, the auction will be conducted by the holder of the mortgage for the brewery. That's Newburyport 5-Cent Savings, also called Newburyport Bank. The sale will include personal property on the premises. When contacted Friday, Newburyport Bank officials had no comment regarding the auction. Ann Cameron, chair of the Board of Selectmen, said she hopes the situation will eventually be resolved. I really know nothing about this, she said. I hope to see a thriving business in that space. Sam Bevan, CEO of the Greater Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce, said it is always disappointing to see a business close, particularly one that occupied such a prominent location on the Essex Causeway. Business closures affect employees, customers, and the broader community, and we never like to see commercial property sit vacant, Bevan said. That said, we remain hopeful that the property will attract a new owner and a new use in relatively short order. Bevan said the facility is a, quote, significant commercial site and located in a highly visible location. Essex continues to be a desirable place to do business, he said. We look forward to seeing the property contribute to the local economy and community in its next chapter. Should the auction proceed, the purchaser will need to present compensation for the potential deal. A deposit of $150,000 by a certified check or bank check shall be paid by the purchaser at the time and place of sale, the legal notice reads. An additional deposit representing 10% of the purchase price of the property shall be paid by the purchaser within 5 days from the time of sale. All deposits are to be held in escrow with Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, LLP, 28 State Street in Boston. Owner and nonprofit seek to preserve oldest house. It's written by Bobby Grady. For 365 years, the Thomas Riggs Senior House has stood in Annisquam, serving as both a functional home and a unique look into how one of Gloucester's earliest officials lived. And now, property owner Barbara Lambert is working with nonprofit organization Historic New England and the city to place a preservation easement on what is said to be the oldest house on Cape Ann. The easement would be held by Historic New England and would protect the building's exterior and interior from ever being demolished or stripped of its historical integrity. Under law, preservation easements require municipal approval. The request is currently under city review. The house is very deserving of the easement. I bought it from the Riggs family, who owned it from 1661 until 1995, and about a third of the furnishings came with it, Lambert said. It was just such an amazing document of history and architecture, as well as a significant family. I just wanted to be sure that this house was protected. Located on Vine Street, the house has elements dating to 1661, when Thomas Riggs Sr., Gloucester's first schoolmaster, a selectman, and its second town clerk of 51 years, and Gloucester was incorporated as a town in 1642, then reincorporated as a city in 1873 when he built the original square log construction. While the log construction still stands, most of the house is a single-story cape constructed around 1704 and in 1753 when the roof was replaced. Dylan Peacock, director of preservation services for Historic New England, said what makes the Riggs house especially unique is that much of the 18th century interior remains intact. There's just a lot of original material remaining in the house, which is really rare and exceptional to find, he said. The city's been really supportive of our presence, and we're just really looking forward to working with them to secure this approval. Lambert, who lives in the house to this day, purchased it in 1995 from descendants of the Riggs family. The then Concord resident initially walked away from the house, but when the realtor reached out saying other prospective buyers planned on tearing the home down, she changed her mind. Over the next 4 years, Lambert, quote, modernized the house, outfitting it for heat, electricity, running water, and other modern luxuries Thomas Riggs Sr. didn't account for, but she did so in a way that the house's historical integrity was not lost. I ended up building a timber-framed wing, a great room basically off the back that you cannot see from the front, Lambert said. That's where I put bathrooms and heating and that sort of thing, so I tried my best to preserve the house as much as possible. Today, Lambert said the house's six fireplaces all still work, and the Thomas Riggs Senior House is one of three squared log houses remaining in Massachusetts. Her house is also a part of the historic Riggs landscape, which includes her house, the Thomas Riggs Jr. house on Holly Street, and the 33-acre Riggs pasture between them, Lambert said. A portion of the pasture has been developed, according to Lambert, but the developer agreed to keep part of it as conservation land. Fiesta 5K evolves into Cherished Affair. This is from Gail McCarthy. When the Fiesta 5K road race, an ever-growing community tradition that is part of the annual St. Peter's Fiesta in Gloucester, kicks off June 25th, it will likely have a record number of participants. Last year, more runners than ever, 1,674 tackled the course. More than 580 had already signed up by Sunday afternoon for this summer's run. Benefits of this race extend far beyond the run through the nation's oldest seaport. Arena McWilliams-Lopez, executive director of CAPAN YMCA, emphasized that what began as a local community road race quickly became a signature event for the YMCA that blends fitness, hometown pride, and fiesta tradition. Money raised beyond the race's operating budget goes toward providing need-based financial aid for an array of community programs and wellness benefits. This is a key element that makes the Fiesta 5K so meaningful for our communities, McWilliam Lopez said. As the race has grown in runners, so has its ability to strengthen community through expanded scholarship support for youth sports, our cornerstone program for those battling cancer, and YMCA membership financial aid. Organizers look back to the road race's origins in the late 1990s. The CAPAN YMCA Fiesta 5K Road Race was launched as a partnership between the CAPAN YMCA and Gloucester's St. Peter's Fiesta Celebration. Between 2010 and 2014, the road race experienced rapid growth and regional recognition. The course from Stage Ford Park into the heart of Fiesta helped define the race's local identity and made it unlike a traditional road race, McWilliam Lopez said. During these years, participation steadily increased. Families and competitive runners alike embraced the event, and the race became known for its festive atmosphere and strong community turnout. That's what's wonderful is that this has become a cultural event embedded into Fiesta, and Fiesta is so meaningful to Gloucester. In the early years, the race began at O'Malley Middle School and ended downtown. The race now starts at Stage Ford Park with the finish line by the St. Peter's Club downtown near the heart of Fiesta activities. The race boasts a diversity of runners from trained athletes to newcomers to the road race experience. Thousands of onlookers cheer on the runners, and many hold up signs of encouragement. Some runners dress up, even sporting Viva Fiesta attire. This race is special because everyone runs together. Women, men, dogs, strollers, grandparents, and even the local elementary schools have running clubs that participate, McWilliam Lopez said. The momentum that was building for the popular road race came to an abrupt halt when the COVID-19 pandemic shut down the world and community gatherings ceased to exist. There were no races in 2020 and 2021. One of Cape Ann's most anticipated annual events disappeared temporarily from the calendar, McWilliam Lopez said. Although the race started to grow right before the pandemic, our biggest participation numbers started to show up in 2022 and have grown steadily since then. More than 800 runners have participated in 2017, and that same number returned post-pandemic, followed by even more interest among participants. The comeback represented a resilience of a YMCA fundraising tradition, community reconnection, and renewed support for the YMCA mission. Runners, volunteers, sponsors, and families returned in force, reaffirming the race's importance to Gloucester and Cape Ann, and the defining part of Fiesta Weekend, McWilliam Lopez said. The road race also has an international demographic. Each year, runners from different states across the country and from other countries participate, with the farthest being Singapore. And this is Cape Ann, and a lot of people come home for the summer, McWilliam Lopez said. People who grew up here and live in other places continue the tradition of coming back around the time of Fiesta, and people who spend the year in other places, even around the world, come back to run the road race. McWilliam Lopez has volunteered at the finish line for the past 4 years. I feel like I don't exhale until I see the last runner. I want to see every single person cross the finish line, she said. It's now a tradition to welcome summer. In our community, we have certain cultural traditions, and the Fiesta 5K is almost like a portal to summer, and Fiesta is a portal to summer. It always feels like it's the first really hot day, and it's always celebratory. On his feet, Gloucester teen in North Shore Music Theater musical. It's written by Gail McCarthy. Gloucester's 13-year-old Sebastian Harvey likely sings and dances Broadway musicals in his sleep. But when he's awake, the seventh grader is singing and dancing nightly in On Your Feet on stage at North Shore Music Theater through June 14th. The show is based on the lives of the celebrated Emilio and Gloria Estefan of Miami Sound Machine fame. And Sebastian is playing young Emilio, the Estefan's son, Naib, and the character Jeremy. Sebastian is a student in Ipswich because his parents both teach there. Jared Harvey is a special education teacher, and Karen Harvey, a native of Peru, is a middle school Spanish teacher. We travel to school every day singing musicals, said Jared Harvey, while tunes from the musical Chicago played in the background. This will be Sebastian's first adult musical at the Beverly Theater. Venue owner and producer Bill Haney received the 2026 Elliot Norton Prize for Sustained Excellence at the recent Boston Theater Critics Association Award Ceremony. Sebastian has performed at the theater in the youth productions The Lion King Jr. as Simba and in Disney's Descendants, but this time he's in the cast of a professional theater production. The musical tells a tale of the Estefan's journey from Cuba to Miami and their rise to international superstardom, sharing the power of perseverance and the universal language of music, is the quote from the show. Hit songs include chart toppers like Conga, Get on Your Feet, and Rhythm is Gonna Get You. Besides Sebastian, the cast features Isabel Leone as Gloria Estefan and Marcello Aldino as Emilio Estefan, along with Carmine Allers, who plays Gloria Fajardo, Henry Gainza, who plays Jose Fajardo, and Cidia Cedeno Genat, who plays Consuelo Garcia. The production is also features Olivia Cruz, who plays Rebecca Fajardo, Kendall Rivera, who plays young Gloria, and Jason Cohen, who plays Phil. The incredible cast of 23 will bring this vibrant, true story to life. Whether you're a longtime fan of the Estefans or discovering them for the first time, this production promises to be a high-energy, unforgettable night out at the theater, Hanny said in a prepared statement. During the show's run, the teenage Sebastian attends middle school by day and performs at night. But this student says, "This is a dream come true. I think the trick is trying to get good rest and being prepared right before the shows," he said. The aspiring young actor wanted to thank the adult actors who have served as mentors. "It is an honor to work with such great, talented professional actors in the cast," he said. "It's really interesting being a kid and working with this amazing cast. And over my weeks of rehearsals and shows, it makes me feel like it is a small little theater family. I would love to give a big thank you to the actors in North Shore Music Theater because to me, they are my version of Broadway. Sebastian has always had an affinity for music. Sebastian came out singing and dancing," his father said with a chuckle. "He took to show tunes and fell in love with them. He was always dancing around the living room. His volumes of musicals in his head. He has Broadway actors that he looks up to and mimics their every move. His ultimate goal is that he wants to land a show on Broadway and sing and dance for a living. The seventh grader can rattle off the names of musicals and show tunes the way a sports fan can rattle off noteworthy statistics. Currently among his favorites are Rent, The Great Gatsby, Beetlejuice, and Little Shop of Horrors. At Ipswich Middle School, he appeared in Willy Wonka Jr. as Augustus Gloop and in Elf as Santa. When I was 11, I got to play my number one dream role, Tobias, in Sweeney Todd," Sebastian said. "I'm a big fan of Johnny Depp and Tim Burton. I love the vocals and I love the scenes." Among his dream roles would be the humorous Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast or lead roles in The Great Gatsby or Next to Normal. In the near future, if he were to get a Christmas wish, perhaps he will be cast in a holiday production of A Christmas Carol. ISO ready for summer electricity demand. It's written by Colin Young of the Statehouse News Service, Boston. Grid operators expect to have sufficient electricity to meet heightened demand this summer and that public conservation or controlled outages will not be needed. ISO New England projects that consumer electric demand will peak at 25,228 megawatts under normal weather conditions and could grow to 26,473 megawatts under very hot and humid weather this summer. The operator said it expects to have 28,717 megawatts of total resources available, though the forecast published late last month noted that the higher demand estimate could present challenging operating conditions, particularly if combined with an unexpected loss of generation or other factors. Should these conditions materialize, as they did last summer when demand reached the highest level in the region in more than a decade, ISO New England grid operators have several tools available to maintain reliability on the system, including increasing imports and tapping standby units, the organization said. Summer 2025 grid demand peaked at 26,586 megawatts on June 24th. Since then, significant new resources have connected into the region's grid, including the New England Clean Energy Connect transmission line bringing in Canadian hydropower, more of the Vineyard Wind offshore wind farm, and several grid-scale battery projects. And behind-the-meter solar panels are projected to reduce demand by more than 1,700 megawatts during the peak hour of demand on days with normal weather conditions. Instead of peaking in the mid-afternoon, as was common during summers before widespread solar panel installations, New England grid demand now peaks in the early evening hours around 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., ISO New England said. The region has more than 8,000 megawatts of behind-the-meter solar, as people have self-installed systems on people's homes or businesses, which effectively push the peak hour of grid demand later in the day when the sun is lower in the sky and production from solar systems is reduced. During peak demand periods, dirtier fuels like oil are often pressed into service, so reducing demand during those times can have a greater impact on emissions avoidance by limiting the use of high-emitting power generators, according to the Metropolitan Area Planning Council. MAPC offers a summer peak demand program to alert municipalities on days when peak demand is within reach and encourage them to reduce their consumption to save money on electric bills. The all-time record for peak demand in New England was set August 2nd, 2006, when demand reached 28,130 megawatts after a prolonged heat wave, ISO New England said. Here's this week's campaign notebook written by Christian Wade, State House reporter. Marky Moulton still wrangling over debates. The debate over debating in the marquee U.S. Senate race is heating up with incumbent Senator Ed Markey challenging Democratic rival Seth Moulton to a third debate ahead of the primary. Markey called for adding a debate in Western Massachusetts in addition to two debates he has previously agreed to participate in ahead of the Democratic primary and November 3rd general election. The 413 area code should not be an afterthought in this race, Markey said in a statement. Voters across Western Mass deserve to be talked to, not just talked about. Since Congressman Moulton already found time to debate a MAGA Republican who isn't even his opponent on a day when the Senate is in session, and I will be in Washington doing my job for the people of Massachusetts, I have no doubt he can find time to debate a fellow Democrat in Western Massachusetts, he added. Markey's invitation comes after weeks of ribbing by Moulton and Republican candidate John Deaton, both of whom have accused the 79-year-old incumbent of ducking debates. Moulton and Deaton have agreed to debate each to debate each other before the September 1st primary and have invited Markey to join the event. In response to Markey's call for another debate, Moulton's campaign said it welcomes a second debate and pushed back against the incumbent senators, quote, "No more hiding in Maryland, Ed, no more lies," Moulton said in a prepared statement. "The voters of this Commonwealth deserve a transparent debate on the future of our country, and I look forward to a debate in Western Massachusetts." Moulton also renewed an invitation to join the June 16th WBZ debate with Deaton, the lone Republican in the race, and commit to a, quote, "robust debate schedule ahead of the elections." "It's an opportunity to directly debate Trump's horrible and racist policies and to stand up for Massachusetts values," Moulton said. "I'm ready to debate you every single week until the primary in September, if you can keep up." Wynn tops poll in 6th congressional district. A new internal poll shows State Representative Tram Nguyen, and the last name is N-G-U-Y-E-N, Democrat of Andover, leading the crowded field of Democrats vying for the party's nomination to run for the 6th congressional district seat in the midterm elections. The survey of about 400 likely Democratic voters released by Wynn's campaign earlier this week shows her with 28% of the vote, compared with 18% for former Biden administration official Dan Koh, that's K-O-H is the last name, with at least 24% still undecided. Other Democrats in the congressional race received single-digit support, according to pollsters. Wynn's polling group, Workbench Strategy, also provided those it surveyed with a brief biographical information about each of the candidates, and as well as a series of positive messaging statements about Wynn, which increased her support from 28% to 47% in the, quote, "informed vote," the company said. At this early stage of the election, the race for Massachusetts' 6th congressional district is wide open, Workbench Strategy pollster Jane Rayburn said in a survey summary of the survey. In a well-funded communication scenario, Nguyen has a clear path to building a broad coalition of voters and is competitive against the field to win in September. It's a second poll to show Nguyen at the head of the pack of congressional candidates seeking to replace outgoing Democratic Representative Seth Moulton, who is running for a U.S. Senate seat. In May, Linfield attorney and businessman John Beccia, B-E-C-C-I-A, released details of an internal poll paid for by his campaign showing a neck-and-neck race between him and Coe, but the poll showed Nguyen slightly ahead of both Beccia and Coe with 14% of those surveyed. Another poll in the race released in May by Democrat Bethany Andrus Beck showed the Middleton software engineer and former Representative Jamie Belcito, who are also running for the congressional seat, tied in first place, with each getting 14% of those surveyed. So far, there's been no independent polling in the race. The winner of the September 1 Democratic primary will face Republican Micah Jones, an Essex attorney and U.S. Army veteran, in the general election. Keneally endorses Minogue in governor's race. Former gubernatorial candidate Mike Keneally has formally endorsed fellow Republican Mike Minogue in his quest to reclaim the governor's office for Republicans in the November elections. In a statement, Keneally said Minogue's business acumen as a former CEO of a technology company makes him the ideal candidate to take on Democratic Governor Mara Healey in a general election. He knows, like we all do, that Mara Healey has Massachusetts last in the nation in job growth and headed in the wrong direction, he said. This election is too important to the future of our state, and Mike Minogue is the proven job creator and innovator with a record and passion for service who can defeat Mara Healey. Keneally also blasted Short Sleeve for running an overwhelmingly negative and dishonest campaign that has provided wildly changing explanations for his past political donations and party affiliations. Thanks so much for listening. Please be sure to join us again tomorrow for another edition of the Gloucester Daily Times. And of course, have a great evening.